Now we'd like to invite Pastor Shoghi to come up. As I explained in the emails and last Sunday, Pastor Shoghi is the pastor of the Sudanese congregation that worships here. They sometimes are praying and rehearsing on Saturday night, and then they worship in the youth room Sunday afternoon. Most of their church goes to other Christian churches in the morning, and then they worship together as a Sudanese Christian community in the afternoon here. Today's a special occasion. He's invited his church to worship here together at the 10 o'clock. So we'll be recording that on Facebook Live. If you want to check back in, they're going to lead us in singing at the beginning of the next service. Today you get to hear Pastor Shoghi preach, and could I pray for you?
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for Shoghi and for his desire to preach your word, for his desire to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. I thank you for your call on him, and I pray now you will give us ears to hear your voice through him as he preaches this morning. Empower him, take away anxiety, and fill him with your peace. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I'll go this way.
Amen. I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is an honor and privilege to stand here today and to speak the word of the Lord to the Church of Redeemer. I'm so honored and I'm so happy to be here with my beautiful two girls back there. The rest of the family will be here later today with us. And of course, my name is Bentin Matthew Alberto, but I am known by Pastor Shoghi. And I'm the Sudanese community pastor of Jacksonville here, which Pastor Gil just said it. We're using the building here. We give God glory and we give you guys thanks. Also, thank you very much, Pastor Gil, for allowing me to stand here today to speak to the people of the Lord. Amen. The whole reading that we have read from Joshua, chapter 24, and from verse 1 and 2, and then we jump to 14. When Pastor Bill sent me all these readings of today, I found something in common. In this passage that we have read of book of from Joshua 24, and then the first one, Psalm 16, and then the letter to Ephesians, I found something all have to do with our choices. And I feel that the Holy Spirit is leading me to speak about our choices, which we have seen it in this reading from Joshua 24. And of course, I want to use it as subject, which God are we serving? Which God are we serving or worshiping? So, Joshua, God used him to bring Israelite out from Egypt. I mean, Moses. Now, before they cross Jordan, the river of Jordan, of course, he died. Now, Joshua have to lead the people of God to the promised land. In his 110 years old, he know that he's not going to live long. But as a faithful servant of God, he called them to a place called Shechem. And we know that Shechem is a very important place to Israelite. In Shechem, this is the first place where Abraham built an altar to the Lord when he was called out of his family or his nation. When God told him, I will use you and I will multiply you nations will come from you. So when he came out from his family, he built an altar over there in the place called Shechem. And also in Shechem, this is where they buried the bones of Joseph and Jacob. So Shechem is a very important place to the Israelites. That's why Joshua called them out there. And in his talking to the people of Israel, he said something in the first two verses that thus saith the Lord. It is clear that this is not Joshua's words, but it's God's words to the people of Israel. God using him to speak to the people of Israel. So he said, thus saith the Lord. And in first two verses, he says that to approve to the people that this is not his word, but this is God's word. Now, God reminded the people of Israel where they first come from by telling them the history of their great-grandfather, Abraham and Nahum, that they were worshipping idols. But just because of his mercies and his favor, he chose them. Now, from verse 3 to verse 13, God reminds the people of his mercies and goodness when they were in their journey from Egypt to Promised Land. God reminded them that he was there with them at night in the pillar of fire and in the daytime in the pillar of clouds. And he was providing for them food. So God reminding the people all of this. This is why in verse 14, Joshua said to the people, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side, on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the that were in the other side of the river, or the gods that Amorites serve, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, if we ask, what was the other god that their father served on the other side of the land, on the other side of the river? All the idols, all kinds of idols. What about the gods that they served in Egypt? In Egypt, they have more than, I don't know the exact number, but I believe they have more than maybe 50 different kinds of gods. I searched some gods that Egyptians served that time, and I found they have some gods that we can name them, but I'm not going to go through them all, but I chose just like maybe five. So Egyptians used to serve gods, they call them for themselves gods of moon. Moon that comes at night. I know I have a heavy accent, but please bear with me. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes,
amen. Gods of moon. And then they serve gods of sun. They made it for themselves. They just want to worship to these gods. And then also they have gods called Amon. Those gods, I chose them because I heard about them and I read about them. So they call gods of Amon, and then god of Ammon with T, of whom I believe have to do with women. If you can remember in his journey to Asia, Apostle Paul went to one of the places where there is a temple. They say this is for unknown god. But the traditional of that gods, they will have 1,000 women naked to worship there. So this god here, Ammon god, was in Egypt and have to do with woman's body. They're worshiping this way. This is kind of the god they're worshiping, and god of Akkad and Akil. So they have over 70 or more than that different kinds of god. So this is the gods that God the Father don't want his people to continue to worship. Now, we might not have these gods in our nowadays, but I want to assure us that these gods that Israelites worship in Egypt and on the other side of the land before the cross river, before the cross to the promised land, they are still exist even nowadays, but in different shape or in different kind. I am from Africa, from South Sudan. Back there, until now, there is still some people worshipping idols. And they still believe in things of voodoo and all this stuff. You will go to somebody's house, then they will tell you, you can sleep in this room, but please do not go to that corner. There will be something there that they believe this is God of luck or their God, which they are worshipping. They're still there. Maybe not here in America, but because the devil also is upgrading his tricks. So, you may not see all these gods here, or you cannot hear about it in America, but they are hidden under other things. Things such as pornography. You'll find people addicted to these things. They would love to just see these things. And then, sex out of marriage, and also addictions to all kinds of things. Addiction to drugs, addiction to alcohol, or addiction to just watching TV, or addiction to their phones. Some people do see, some people are so glued to their phone, like they just will take hours on their phone. But when they want to read the Word of God, you will find them very tired and sleepy. What is happening? It's because the hidden God under those devices, God of addiction, they are addicted to their devices, but when they want to read the Word of God, they cannot take even 30 minutes. And this is the same gods, but in a different way in our time now. In verse 16, the people answered Joshua back after Joshua said to them, choose you guys for yourself whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, or my house, will serve the Lord. Now, this is their answer to Joshua about that. They say, the people say, or answer Joshua that, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Now, Joshua knows these people from the beginning. As a matter of fact, he might be the oldest one among these people. Because we know that this is happening now in the promised land. And we know that from the people who came out from Egypt, they are all died in these 40 years in desert. Now, only two people out of this nation who came out from Egypt remained and went with the rest of the people to the promised land, which is Caleb, we call it Caleb in Arabic, and Joshua, we call it Yeshua in Arabic. So now, Joshua is the oldest one among them. And Joshua knows these people very well. This is not the first time that these people would say, we will serve the Lord. This was not the first time. Because they saw that just right after they crossed the Red Sea, what happened when Moses went up to the mountain. They said to Aaron, we don't know what happened to your brother. He's taking too long. And can you please make us a god to worship? And Aaron, of course, say, okay, give me the earrings and the golds that with your family, and he formed a god for them, and they were worshiping. Even though they know God delivered them with a mighty hand from Egypt, but still so fast they forgot. So now Joshua knew that this is not the first time these people will say this. So now Joshua told them, you guys cannot serve this God. If somebody would ask, then how you say just a few minutes that as for you and your family, you will serve the Lord. But this is not what Joshua means. They cannot serve this God. Joshua wants to deliver a clear message to them that if you want to serve this God, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of Moses, God of Israel, the living God, the creator of all universe. Why this God need to be mentioned like this? Because there are other gods. They call them gods. So now we need to define our God, who's above every other God. Joshua is trying to tell the people that if you want to worship or to serve this God, there is two things that we are going just to touch it, and then we'll finish from the reading that we have read from Joshua 24. Very small thing, but very important. For their time, that time, and for us right now. Hallelujah. Amen. So Joshua told them, you guys cannot serve this God. And Joshua told them, Joshua means to tell them, if you choose to serve this God or to worship to this God whom I'm worshiping, first thing, you must know this. The Lord must be the foundation in which we build everything in our life. The Lord must be the first thing in our heart. He must take the first place in our heart. And in his place, we should not share any other God. So we must know that we are serving God who made us in his image. And he is a jealous God. So he must take the priority of our life. And our worship to him must come from within. Now, what are the two things that Joshua wants them to know? This also applies to us. We know that now we don't see these gods that they serve, but we know that there's other gods that among all the nations that people believe in them, like I just mentioned a few minutes ago. If we want to put God first in our life, if we want to worship the Lord God Father, we must put him first. He must take the first place. He must take the priority of our life. But all this cannot happen unless we do these two things Joshua is telling the Israelites to do. What are these two things? First thing is this. He says in verse 23, put away the other God, or the foreign God, which are among you. Which tells that now when Joshua called them to Shechem, Joshua knew very well, or he was 100% sure that these people are serving other gods, the gods of this nation that's surrounding them. And this verse will tell us clear that he said, put away the foreign god that among you. In Arabic or in other translation, it may be not put away or take away, but in Arabic they use a very strong phrase which called, in English I can translate it like, say, pull out the other gods from your house. There's different when we say cut. When you are coming to cut a tree, there is a possibility that if you cut it, the tree may regrow. But if you pull it, then there's no way that the tree will grow back. And this is how they use it in Arabic translation. I'm always like to read it in Arabic, and then I'll try to do it in English. So it says, pull this God out. So we need to not just cut it, but pull it out from our life. If it's God of pornography, a God of addiction to all kinds of things, we need to pull them. We just don't want to say, oh, I'm stopping it now. No, you really want from inside that, pull it out. This is where that God the Father, our Creator, Lord Jesus, will come and dwell in us. Because he's a holy God. He cannot share your heart with other gods that you believe in. This is how Joshua was trying to tell them. And now, he said, the first thing he said, take away the foreign God from your houses or from your lives. And now, the second thing he said, insulin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right or not, but maybe I can say, he said, lean your heart. Insulin your heart to the Lord, God of Israel. Or lean your heart. Jesus said one time in Mark 7:6, he said to Pharisees that Prophet Isaiah prophesied to them before that these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. See, now, this has been there from the beginning, and it continues. And this has been the message since then until now, until generations to come, that we must not share God with any other God. God is a God of jealousy. Before, a long time ago, when I would hear that this phrase, that God is God of jealousy, I kind of getting confused. How can God be a jealous God? But lately I begin to understand that God is jealous for his love to us, and also he's jealous because he's just. Now, he has to fulfill his justice. When Adam and Eve they disobeyed God in Garden of Eden, what was the God's response? First, God told them, do not eat from this tree. The day that you will eat from this tree, you will surely die. Now, if you see, they did not die physically, but they separated from God. They died spiritually. That God is not longer coming to talk to them like before. Now they were chased out from the garden, and there were no way for them to come back. This is the mercies of God, or this is the jealousy of God, that he must fulfill, that he's just, and his just must come to a place. This is why we can be able to understand the jealousy of God. He's jealous toward us, not for him. He can make other people to worship him. When Satan rebels against him in the first place, what did he do? We know Satan, Lucifer used to be the chief of a team of praising, right? When he rebels against God, what did God do? He chased him out, and he made us to worship him. Now, if we do not worship God with all our heart, you don't think that God can make from the storms to worship him? So this is where the jealousy of God, we can understand more when they say God is jealous. He's jealous for us, not for himself, because he can make other things to worship him. So this is why Joshua told them, we must lean our heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. So now, as I'm finishing, in Matthew 19, when Jesus was talking to the rich young man, I remember in his conversation, Jesus said to him that if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give the money to the poor people or to the needy people. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. The desire of this rich young man was to follow Jesus. We all want to follow Jesus. But he cannot come to Jesus with all his heart, because the other half of his heart belonged to the thing that he possessed. His money, his everything that he had. But when Jesus told him this, the Bible said the young man, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, not so happy. Why he's not so happy? Because he really want to follow God, but in the other hand, also, he do not want to give up what he believed that is good for him or for his future or for his family. But if we ask this question, do really Jesus want this young man to go and sell his stuff and give the money to the needy? If he would say, yes, I will go and sell my everything and give the money to the needy, then Jesus will tell him, you have answered right. Because Jesus can fulfill the need of the needy people. But Jesus wanted to see his heart. His heart was not with Jesus. And if you can see, this is what this is all about today. That we need to serve the Lord God, but in the other hand, we also are so busy with other things of this life. And this is where God will be so mad and so jealous that, why, you know, this is not the way I want you to be, but you still continue to go to that direction. As I'm finishing, I want to share this small story from Africa, of course, about animals. A true story. Some stories they're making up, but this is a true story. A lion was chasing two deer. deers. Is that the right name? Deers?
Yeah.
Two deers were running in one direction, all forests and bushes from here, but they were like road. They were running, and the lion was chasing them. But then it came a place that these two deer separated. And there's a thorn, bush of thorn, how you call it?
Thorns.
Thorns. Bush of thorns, big in the middle. So when these two deer separated, because in his mind, he was going to get both of them. Now, he ended up in that bush of thorns, right? So now, what happened? If we see this from a spiritual perspective, that's exactly what will happen to us. If we say we want to serve the Lord God, we want to worship Him, but in the other hand, we still also want to hold into the other things of this world, we will end up, of course, dying like this lion. This is not what the Lord wants us. He wants us all of us for Him, because He deserves it. He created us in His image. Yes, we are living in a time that we have many options in this life to choose. And this is what's amazing about God. When He created us, He gave us a free will to choose what we want. But He knows that our choices sometimes might be not good for us. That's why we are here today listening to this specific message about who are we serving, are we worshiping. In the book of Deuteronomy, I'm finishing with this one, 30:19, Moses said, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
May God be glorified forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In response to God's word preached and proclaimed, let us stand and declare our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now please be seated or kneel for prayer.